I had one, but I actually have to go. I'm sorry.
wanted to throw something out there about a lot of what Tassos and CC have been speaking about involves communication, whether it's flyers or like political communication from a demonstration. And that's clearly one of the really vital parts of what's built these struggles, but it deserves a caveat. Unlike in a lot of other places, when the Greek anarchists attempt to communicate with as much of society as possible, as a generalization that seems to hold true in, I mean, any case that I can think of, it's not a question of dumbing down the analysis or of hiding your own analysis because this might scare people off. It's not a question of finding populist ways of expressing your ideas. Of course, you want to use language that people can understand. You want to write sentences that someone can understand, even if they haven't read the same theorists as you. But if you were to go about this in a way of trying that your goal, your end immediate goal, is to convince somebody, to win someone over, then you're going to put it in language if you're an anarchist, then you're ultimately hiding what you really believe and what you really want. Because in one flyer, you can't convince someone entirely step by step about all of these things you want. Usually, the Greek anarchists, when they make these flyers, they're expressing very honestly what they want and the full analysis, not breaking things into single issues. If there's something about solidarity for a prisoner, then at the bottom it'll almost always say freedom for all prisoners. And this is a scary idea, but the point isn't to convince people, because the point is not to make a larger anarchist movement. There's not this idea of struggle, that there's phases of struggle, and first we have to do the communication work, and then when the movement gets this big, then we can go to the next stage. All of the actions exist at the same time.
And it's based in truth. Pure truth. This is what you really believe.
And so so basically what's happening here is that you're influencing other people's realities. You're not communicating in a way that you dumb things down or you try not to scare them or not give them a bitter pill to swallow, because that's impossible. In a capitalist society, there are no pills to swallow that are worthwhile, that aren't exceedingly bitter. However, the way democracy works is by narrowing the range of acceptable debate. Okay, this is how it distinguishes itself from dictatorship. In dictatorship, there's one point, and you can agree with it, or you can shut up. In democracy, you can debate within the acceptable range. And anything outside of that range is legalized, it's repressed, it's silenced, it's classified as terrorism, what have you. And so what this does is to show the existence of opinions, and very strong opinions, outside of that range. And then that changes people's idea of what the acceptable range of debate is. That changes people's idea about what's possible. And it also, they have to redefine their own opinions, not just in response to this very narrow range, which may validate their own opinions if you know they just have opinions, the ones that they're supposed to have formed through the constant brainwashing they're bombarded by. But they have to redefine their opinions in response to this very radical position. And so to live under capitalism, to survive under capitalism, means at a certain level lying to yourself. It means living with cognitive dissonance. It means living with this schizophrenia of having to constantly betray yourself, because that's what capitalism is. But in a moment of rupture, in a moment of crisis, in a moment when people need something, they need to be able to respond with stronger tools than the pacified tools that democracies offer them, then they have those tools available. They've encountered these ideas, and they have those other possibilities living there like a seed. And another form of communication that's very important, often people will make a distinction, especially pacifists, between communicating and direct action, or smashing things, or illegal actions. But there is no distinction. The riots are a form of communication. Burning things down is a form of communication. It communicates very powerfully that something does not have consensus, that capitalism, that these car dealerships, that the police stations or the banks being burned do not have social consent behind them, but they exist there and they're imposed by force, and they also provoke a lot of rage. And that's something that's undeniable. That's something that's undeniable. Whether you agree with it or not, whether it frightens you or not, it's not just an opinion, but it's something that exists, that becomes a part of the reality. So this communicates, and what was really, really striking about Greece is not that everyone became anarchist, that all these tens and hundreds of thousands of people who participated in the insurrection became anarchists because they didn't, but that hundreds of thousands of people around the country were doing things that in the past only anarchists had done, and that in all the past were considered exceedingly unpopular. were not the type of things that you would do if you want to win votes or get people to join your organization. Because they're scary, because they require a real confrontation with the reality that you live under, because they require a personal insurrection, because they require a rupture, a break with the system. And so people who were disagreeing with these illegal tactics a month earlier, in December, started using them because that was the only thing that was there that was an adequate response for the rage that they felt in that moment. So all the things function as forms of communication.
I was going to ask about the... I think it's admirable the way that the Greek people stand up, don't put up with the shit that we put up with a lot of times, the police brutality and, you know, the privatization university, that sort of thing. A lot of the media that we've been seeing lately has been saying, you know, blaming that, things that the Greek people have fought for, that, like, safety nets and unemployment if you get fired and that sort of thing, have been the reason for the credit default that was, you know, threatening the EU. And so I was wondering if you could share some perspectives on, or some of the anarchist perspectives on the social struggle involving these public goods, but that are, at least right now, in their current state, under the auspices of the state, whether the universities or things like protections for workers.
The governors, they stole the money, you know, and also they stole our lives, and we fight to take back our lives. And also, it's a lie to believe that the public services or the free public health makes the economy worse. Because what is the economy? How we count? This that we count, it is how much happy we are. And we are not happy at all. We are angry, you know, even though that we have free public health and free public education. Imagine how much angry it is the American society, really, really. I mean, inside. Even if they don't understand or if they don't believe that they need free public health for everybody. They cannot understand the concept, you know. But we hope that slowly they will understand, you know. That, we wish, and we will enforce, you know, like free public health for everybody. We will enforce the free public education for everybody. You understand? Nobody can prove to the society that because we have free public health, the economy is no good. You know, according to whom? Who counts? And what they count anyway? I mean, who makes these catalogs? You know, what is the economist? Who is these people? You understand? We don't know them. You know, who can understand? Who can understand the feelings of the people when you walk in the neighborhoods around? When you speak with the young people or with the old people that they take so few money? How is it possible to work 35 years in your life and to not get money to survive in the last years of your life? Good, you know, that you gave all your life to this society. How is it possible, like, to be 16 years old and to feel that wherever you work, you will never have enough money to pay the rent and also having good life and to get married, to make a family? Okay, who counts the economy? What is the economy? Okay, they count their own money. Okay, and as their money, it is not ours. We don't care about their numbers. We don't care about this counting. We don't care about what they call crisis. We are not in crisis. Anyways, Greece is in social crisis at the last 30 years. I mean, they sell this fairy tale to the Greeks that the economy is problematic, that we have problems in the economy for the last 30 years. And they sell this fairy tale every time for different reasons, you know. Now they sell it about the euro, or I don't know. We don't care. We don't read the economical newspapers, you know. We don't want to understand the way that they think, in a way. Mm-hmm. I mean, we understand the way that they think, but we have our own mentality. You understand? We built our own way of looking at the social life. And also, what is the social life? Can the governor understand what is the social life? From where? Does she live in this life? Does the governors of the United States of America live on this planet? I'm not sure about this, you know? Because they don't understand the destruction of the planet. They don't understand the problems of the immigration. They don't understand the genocide of the indigenous people. They don't understand the economical problems of all the people in the neighborhood. Are the governors of the United States living on this planet? I don't believe so. And it is the same for the Greek government also. I don't believe that the Greek government live in Greece. They live in another planet, you know. So we don't care about their numbers. We don't care about their analysis. We don't care what the economical newspapers they speak about. But as they try to make our life difficult, to make it more difficult, you know, to suck our money and to suck our economy and to suck our life, we will be there to fight against. And that's why, whatever time any crisis exists, we are here to make it much harder, much stronger. I mean, the anarchists, they want much more bigger crisis than this crisis that capitalism produces now. But this will be a crisis full of consciousness and full of social benefit, like full of the love of social life, that the people, they will care each other. And this, it will be like a very beneficial for all the society, and this is our vision. How the anarchist movement gonna benefit the society. The society will not feel us as terrorists or as enemies or as problematic people, because we are not all these things. We are the people that we're gonna help the society with all our possible powers. This is the vision for the economical crisis.
It's also important to note that the newspapers in Greece are also lying about the reasons for whatever restructurings that they want to institute. The newspapers in Barcelona also lie about the reasons for that. But the anarchists in those places never wait for the media to explain those things the way they want them to be explained. They, in Greece, they're out on the streets with posters and distributing all this counter information. Every group, you know, they pay out of their pocket, they print as many as they can, and they distribute them because they know that no one else is going to put that analysis out there. In Barcelona, one person with the social struggles there defrauded banks of several tens of thousands of euros, making loans and not paying it back, and then they used this money to print 50,000 copies of a free newspaper in Catalan. No, 300,000 copies. And then anarchists all around the city, we got up early for once, and went to the metro station, all the metro stations around the city when people were going to work, and handed this out. And this was all about the crisis, and what an economic crisis really is, how capitalism functions. And this guy's in jail now, and you know, he might be I can't remember if he's out awaiting trial, but you know, there might be a few years, but yeah, this is, you know, one person among a campaign that included hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any signs that since the most recent insurrections, has there been more popular support from the general population within Greece to anarchist ideas, or even have you seen more of involvement with what would be considered the non-leftist or anarchist people within the community?
Well, he's translating, the short answer is absolutely.